In 1997, the book Finishing Well in Life and Ministry by Bill Mills and Craig Parrow was published. 20 years later, Bill and Craig reflected on their influential book and on the lessons they had learned since its release. Since recording the interview, Bill Mills has finished well and is now with his Savior, while Craig still serves as the president of Word Partners. This is their conversation.
Craig, it's been a bit over 20 years since we wrote the book together titled Finishing Well. We had hoped that it would be an encouragement to pastors in the battle against burning out in the ministry. And in the last 20 years, a lot of things have changed and a lot of things have stayed the same. Mm-hmm. And we still see a horrendous number of pastors leaving the ministry for various reasons. You know, it's hard to keep up with the statistics, but it sounds like at least half of the pastors out there in churches on the field are struggling with burnout on a physical, emotional, spiritual level. And we still pray that God would keep their hearts.
Bill, I think it's clear that this was a book that scratches where pastors itch. As you said, the landscape is replete with pastors who have burned out from the ministry. We've talked. It's one of the toughest jobs in America, isn't it? To pastor a church, you have the growing independent mindset of people in our country, and it's. You know, sometimes pastors feel like they have 150 bosses, right? And yes. it's a very, very challenging responsibility. And there's, as you said, a lot of reasons why pastors can burn out.
I think it'd be good as we look back on that project to talk a little bit about what we wrote in the book that we still believe in very strongly, and maybe some things that we wish we would have said or said differently. Do you have any thoughts on that?
In many ways, this so much of this book reflects your life message. I've heard you give dozens and dozens of messages over the years. Sometimes we laugh around here that Bill's messages are all the same. and that's not at all a criticism. And one of the key aspects of your message over the years, which is clearly reflected in this book, is the idea of ministry is looking to see what the Father is doing and then walking in that. I've just so appreciated that emphasis. And you cite specifically the ministry of Jesus. We think of Jesus as this great leader, and of course he was, and yet Jesus, in relationship to the Father, was the responder. Mm. The Father was the initiator. Mm. And he says in John, I only do the things I see my Father doing. I only speak the words I hear my Father speaking. The Father was the initiator. The Son was the responder. And we've tried to shape our lives and our ministry based on that. We're looking to see what the Father is doing and then seeking to walk in that rather than creating our own ministry.
Just to review a quick moment, the book Finishing Well in Life and Ministry is about 10 people in the scriptures that struggle with burnout on some level and how God met them along the way, hoping that it would be a help to us and to other pastors. What you're talking about is, to me, the most important message in that book, and the one that I have learned over the years has made the biggest difference in my life, and that is understanding ministry is about God. It's about who He is. It's about what He's doing. Ministry is not about us and about what we're doing. We have a God who speaks. There's so much in this book about the power of His Word to bring life in us and through us to our people. But it's also about a God who is active, who is at work. Sometimes we think that when Jesus returned to the Father, he left the work to us. Biblically, that is not true in any sense. You know, when we look at the book of Acts and the disciples, they are following the Lord Jesus, just as you described a moment ago, that Jesus is following the Father. His identity, their identities, clearly as followers of what God is doing. So here in the book of Acts, Jesus is building his church. God is actively fulfilling his purposes to his glory. And that is a great hope.
And the reminder that it is about his glory is another theme that Finishing Well picks up on. There's a chapter on Habakkuk. Habakkuk battled with burnout, didn't he? He was complaining to God that God wasn't doing enough, and God surprises him by saying, oh, you don't think I'm doing much? Open your eyes. Let me show you what I'm doing. I'm raising up that of the Babylonians, that fierce and impetuous people, and they're coming to a neighborhood near yours to destroy your people. And that just blows all of Habakkuk's circuits. And the book is really a record of his struggle to understand and ultimately to embrace what God is doing. And in the second chapter, he realizes that what God is doing, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God's purposes, ultimate purposes, are to fill the earth with his glory, and that includes mercy and grace. It includes judgment. It is all part of his great eternal purposes.
When you mentioned Habakkuk and what he experienced, you're really touching on one of the major themes of all the other chapters in the book too, Craig, and that is the need for a vision of God to get bigger and bigger. When the book of Habakkuk begins, he's very confused. There's some anger, there's some fear about what God is doing, what he's not doing, and he's crying out for justice. And God says, I am at work, and I'm doing bigger things than you can see or understand. And part of what God reveals is he's going to use the hated Babylonians to come and take Judah, Israel, captive. The prophet is even more confused, but by the end of the book, he's dancing on the high places. And what's changed? And so it's helpful for us personally, but also as we're shepherding our people, how often are they in places where they're confused about what God's doing or what he's not doing, or they're disappointed in what God's doing. And it might be a crisis in marriage or family or health or finances, but situations that are hurtful, devastating, confusing, fearful. How do we shepherd our people so that they're able to dance on the high places? And what's changed for the prophet Habakkuk? His view of God has gotten bigger. His circumstances haven't changed at all.
Actually, his circumstances have gotten worse. Yeah. Because at the beginning, he doesn't realize that judgment is so imminent for his people.
We talk a lot in the book about vision and the need for a vision of God to get bigger and bigger. We talk about how God consistently began the ministry of the prophets with vision, not so much a vision of what he would do with them, but a vision of himself. And of course, vision is a very important word in ministry today. We all know that if you're interviewing for a position in a church or a mission organization or whatever role, One of the first questions was going to be, what is your vision for this ministry? And one of the realities that we deal with in this book is the fact that there's no hint in any text in the Bible where God has any interest in anyone's vision for the ministry. I mean, he's got all the vision that he's an active God. He's fulfilling his purposes, which you hit the bullseye on a moment ago, filling the earth with the knowledge of his glory. And the confidence that the prophet Habakkuk experienced, God will fulfill his purposes, and I can rest in that, is a wonderful thing. But going back again, ministry is not about us, it's about God. It's not what we're doing, it's what he's doing. And the hope with the vision reality is not only that God is going to fulfill his purposes, but it sets us free to walk with God in what he's doing. One of the difficulties with the pressure, the need for pastors today to develop vision for their church, for their ministry, to cast that vision in a way that the people will be engaged and follow in the vision and help develop it. Then we're in the place where so much of our energy and preaching and mostly prayer time is focused on asking God to enter into what we are doing, to give it life, to bless it, to make it happen, rather than leaving us with the freedom to enter into what God is doing and walk with him in his purposes. So to me, it takes a lot of pressure off. That I don't have to develop vision for this ministry. The Word of God is filled with the vision of his heart.
So, Bill, over 20 years ago, we wrote the book. If you were writing the book today, what might you change in the book?
The thing that I have learned the most as I walked with the Lord in ministry, next to ministry is about him and what he's doing that sets me free to follow him. I would have done a section on learning to rest in the work rather than just resting from the work. I look at my life and the patterns in ministry that I've developed, and I think brothers and sisters in the ministry get caught in these same patterns. We see ministry as pouring out our lives for our people, and every one of us wants to do that genuinely. With a whole heart, we want to serve the Lord. We want to serve our people. And so we give ourselves, lay down our lives in preaching, in shepherding, in counseling, in organizing and leading. And so we give all of our strength and energy and get emptied out in the process. And then we go away for a time of personal prayer and study or a vacation, a holiday, we get filled up again. And then we follow the same pattern of laying down our lives for our people, pouring ourselves out, and then finding a place of rest to be built up and filled up again. I think the model of the Lord Jesus, and I think the Apostle Paul as well, was resting in the work rather than resting from the work. I learned that from, I would say, primarily Jesus' ministry model that you alluded to earlier, of watching to see what the Father's doing, entering into the Father's eternal work. He was following the Father in ministry. I think of many ministry trips that you and I have taken together, Craig. And I remember on trips where somebody else was leading. Someone else was responsible for the trip. It gave me a sense of rest in the process. This is, I don't have to be all over this. I don't have to worry about every detail. Someone else is in charge. Sure. And there's something restful about that. I think that's the way Jesus walked with the Father in ministry. He knew that this is what the Father was doing. He would fulfill his purposes. He was following the Father, so he's resting.
Along those lines, one of the the things that impresses me most about the way Jesus does ministry is how he responds to interruptions. And I contrast that with how I respond to interruptions. When I'm on task, please don't interrupt me. I want to finish what I've started. And Jesus doesn't respond that way. When people interrupt him, he receives it as a divine appointment, and he puts down whatever he was working on, in a sense, and gives himself to the person or the people that interrupted him, and looks for what God's doing there and how he can participate in it.
Yeah, it seems that Jesus' ministry, as we read it in the Gospels, very spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not pressured to get these disciples ready by a certain point of graduation so he can turn over the work to them. He's very free along the way, knowing that they will be ready in the Father's timing. When I think of resting in the work, I think of one of those interruptions with the woman at the well. You know, here he's going through Samaria, and which the Jews, of course, would never do because they were bigots. But disciples go into town to buy food. He sits down at Jacob's well to rest, and here comes this Samaritan woman. We know all about her, you know. She's a hurting woman. She's a sinful woman. She's been used. She's hungry. She's thirsty for real things in life. And Jesus begins to talk to her about living water, and it just happens along the way, you know, as an interruption. He heals her life. He satisfies her with the living water. And then the disciples come back with lunch. You know, it's time to break out the sandwiches now that they purchased in town. And Jesus says, I'm not hungry anymore. And they begin to look at each other and say, somebody bring him something to eat while we were gone. And he says, no, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So Jesus was being filled up along the way in the ministry by the things that came from his Father in that relationship. And I think the same as ours in the Holy Spirit, in this walk with Jesus in the ministry, that we can be filled up along the way in the process, even in the interruptions, and break this pattern of work, the work of the ministry being exhausting, pouring out my life, and then I need to go to a place of rest and be filled up again. I think we can rest in the work.
Along those lines, I wonder if we were writing the book again today, if we might emphasize gratitude more fully.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like gratitude is key to resting in the moment by moment work. When we express gratitude to the Lord, we're verbalizing the reality that the ministry is about him and not about us. We're affirming that God is at work, yes, through us, but he's the explanation, not ourselves. And I think over these last 20 years, I think I've grown a little bit in living more with an ongoing heart of gratitude. I still have a long ways to go, but there's something healthy, freeing, delightful about just walking moment by moment, day by day, with a heart full of gratitude, saying, thank you, God, for the big things, for the little things, for the surprises, for the difficult things. Thank you, Lord.
I think part of the gratitude comes from the fact that God's already done with us more than we ever dreamed that he would. And that leaves me personally in a place of freedom to be thankful to God rather than being pressured to accomplish more before I'm finished.
Mm-hmm.
I could leave this earth next week and be very grateful for what the Lord has done without regrets that my ministry wasn't more fruitful or more effective in those places. Since God is at work and I'm walking with Him at what He's doing, what I hoped at the beginning in a one-to-one discipleship ministry, God had plans to bring that to discipling pastors throughout the world. I mean, I never dreamed of this. I never thought that was possible. So what regrets could I have experienced that I wish God would have done more with me? And that gratitude is a place to rest, Craig. I think you're really onto something there.
And gratitude also protects us from a sense of entitlement. That somehow God owes us because of our faithfulness or whatever. Gratitude, circling back to an earlier point, gratitude puts God on display, big God, small us. And that's a healthy way to walk through life and ministry, isn't it?
Yes, you know, thinking of pastors that I've known that have burned out along the way in ministry, I think the thing that most of them have said is, I tried as hard as I could. I did the best I knew how to do, and it just didn't happen. God just didn't do it, and I just gave up along the way. When God is at work, this God who fulfills His purposes, things not only happen, but we see that He is doing it, and that creates a sense of gratitude and worship, but it also gives us a place of freedom and rest.
Amen.
Yeah. I think Paul experienced, going back to this thought of resting in the work, you know, he defines his ministry in his letter to the Colossians. This is toward the end of chapter 1, where he says, "My desire is to bring everyone I meet, everyone I teach, every person to maturity in Christ." And he says, "This I do with all of His energy, which so powerfully works in me." You think of the schedule, the ministry schedule of the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul, and we're staggered by it. You know, we want to set boundaries and we want to make limits. I will give this much of myself and then no more. I need to think of myself, my family, whatever. And there's a place for that, of course. That's very important. But with the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus, nothing was ever measured out. They were able to pour out their lives. Jesus, because of the work of the Father with him, Paul within him, Paul, because of the work and the power, the sustaining grace, the energy, and the pleasure that he found in serving the Lord.
I'll ask the last question, which, I mean, obviously you guys wrote the book on burnout, so you're perfect in this area, right? Just kidding. How has fighting burnout or discouragement in ministry gotten easier as time goes on, and how has it gotten harder?
You know, Kevin, for me, I think the battles of ministry, maintaining ministry schedules, being productive, being effective, Craig is always challenging us as a staff to go deeper, to get better. And I appreciate him so much in that. Facing all those calls and challenges, to me, I think the battle has gotten better, not worse. And even as I've gotten older and continue to maintain a rather heavy travel and ministry schedule, I find the battle less challenging because I think the things that I have learned by God's grace have built new patterns into my heart and life. The patterns of responding to the Father rather than asking Him to enter into what I'm doing and make it happen for some level of affirmation that I desire, that has been less and less an issue. I think learning to rest in the Lord, in the work rather than from the work, has been a pattern that has really been helpful to me and made an incredible difference. I think learning what the writer to the Hebrews talks about when he calls us to enter into God's rest and uses God as an example. God created the world in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day. Why did he rest? Not because he was exhausted from the hard work of 6 days of creation. He rested because his work was completed. He was finished with the work of his first creation. That's what it means for us to enter his rest, to cease from all of our own works. But the thing that I've learned the most, and this is one of the foundational realities of all of us in this ministry, is the power of the Word of God. Because the writer of the Hebrews in that fourth chapter carries us to the place, after calling us to enter into God's rest, to the place for the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Our God is still at work. He's still at work in the same way as in Genesis 1, by His Word and His Spirit. Since God is at work, that means I can rest. How is God at work? Same way through all of history, through the power of His Spirit in His life-giving Word. So that's the thing that has sustained me most.
Burnout or discouragement has gotten more difficult, has become more difficult for me as my leadership responsibilities have grown. There's the responsibility of what our ministry has, 29 staff members, and having leadership responsibilities for those precious folks is challenging at times because of the battles that they face. Some physical challenges, surgeries and so on, other struggles with kids, others financial challenges. There's a weight to all of that. And those are the types of problems that if I had a magic wand, I would love to just wave that magic wand and cure all of those. But I don't have the power within me to do that. Leadership Resources doesn't have bags full of money that we can throw at every financial struggle that our staff faces, for example. And so it, in many situations, prayer is the only response, and it's an appropriate response. But it's also a response of weakness rather than strength, isn't it? It's an acknowledgement that we don't have, that I don't have the answers, the resources, the solutions to the problems facing us. So we pray, and out of our weakness and dependency, which is, of course, a healthy place to be at the same time.
This audio recording is a production of Word Partners, a ministry dedicated to elevating God's life-giving Word in the hearts, lives, and ministries of pastors and their people. Learn more about our ministry at wordpartners.org.